Iconic feminist Gloria Steinem grew up on the road. Throughout her childhood, her family would pile into a trailer and head out across the country, and her father bought and sold antiques to pay their way. As an adult, she stayed on the road, traveling with friends and colleagues while organizing for political and social causes. This is the subject of Steinem's new book, My Life on the Road. Steinem was here in Phoenix on Saturday to talk about this, and the show's Lauren Gilger got a chance to speak with her. And Lauren, it sounds like she's still traveling the country today.
She is. But at 82, she says she's also realized the importance of having a home of her own. Even birds have nests, she told me. We also talked about her work as a prominent feminist over the last 5 decades, her support of Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, and what she hopes for young women of my generation. So I wanted to start by talking about your book, and I wanted to talk about this theme that you talk about a lot in it, about how the road is a really masculine place traditionally. Why do you think that is?
We think of it as dangerous. And even if not dangerous, we think of women as guarding the hearth and taking care of the home and men adventuring. But as I was looking at that and thinking about it, I realized that statistically speaking, the most dangerous place for an American woman is in her own home. That's where she is most likely to be beaten or murdered. So statistically speaking, the road is less dangerous than staying at home.
And one other thing that really popped out at me from your book was you talk a lot about native lands. And since we're in Arizona, there's such a huge influence here from native cultures. I wanted to talk to you about that. So tell us a little bit about your experiences on native lands and working with native women. What kind of strikes you about them, and what do you think is important about that?
Well, what I began to understand was the high state of civilization that was here and the high state of balance and democracy. The principle of social organization was generally a circle, not a pyramid. Women controlled their own fertility with herbs and abortifacients, understood that very, very well. And that meant that they were in balance from the beginning. So when I began to meet people like Wilma Mankeller, the chief of the Cherokee Nation, and Rebecca Adamson, and, you know, so many other Native American women, it was both incredibly angering and incredibly inspiring at the same time, because these egalitarian, circular, very developed, you know, in terms of science and creating the biggest system of earthworks in the world, pyramids bigger than those in Egypt, very sophisticated forms of government, the Iroquois Confederacy. So on the one hand, I was inspired because I thought so much that we search for now once was here. And on the other hand, I was just deeply outraged, and I realized that it's silly to say this because, of course, the people to whom it happened are the ones who know it way better than I. But I used to say to Wilma, how can you bear it? How can you bear knowing that that less advanced civilizations wiped out, or almost wiped out, these very advanced civilizations? And she would always just look at me and nod and say, we're still here.
So nominating Hillary Clinton this year was a landmark. And I think that that's made this election, though, particularly gendered, and the rhetoric around it particularly gendered. And so I wonder, in your view, is that a good thing for women? Is that a bad thing? Is it neither?
Well, it depends on the content. You know, if it were Sarah Palin, we would not be celebrating. So this is not about biology. It's about Hillary Clinton, who, like Shirley Chisholm, who actually was the first woman to run for the presidency, but stood for the majority issues of women, people of color, and, you know, most of the country. So first, it's the content. That's the single most important thing. And then, if you also have somebody who knows what it's like to walk around as a female human being for a lifetime, or as an African-American human being, or, it's very helpful because there's a visceral kind of experience that needs to be brought into decision-making. I mean, we just need our decision-makers to look like the country. So biology is not the most important thing by any means. But if she's representing the majority in a great way and with more experience than anybody else, which she is, it means she brings with her an enormous amount of wisdom and knowledge. For instance, here's an example. We now can prove that the single biggest determinant of whether a country is violent inside itself or will use military violence against another country is not poverty, not access to natural resources, not religion, or even degree of democracy. It's violence against females. So this should be an element in our foreign policy. Only she has made it an element in our foreign policy. If it had been a consideration, say, when we supported the Mujahideen who turned into the Taliban in Afghanistan, we would never have supported them. The whole reason they overturned a more secular regime was because they were allowing girls to go to school, women had to give their permission to be married, and women could go to political meetings. So if we just look at this as an indicator of attitudes and violence, we will have a way, way more effective foreign policy.
So I'm about to turn 30, and I think a lot of women my age have a really hard time sort of understanding what it used to be like before women like you kind of came along and forged this path and changed things. What was it like then?
You know, it's helpful to know history, and I wish I had known history. But the most important thing is to get mad at injustice right now. Gratitude never radicalized anybody. I did not walk around saying thank you for the vote. I don't expect you to walk around saying, you know, thank you for equal pay legislation. You know, at least we're moving toward equal pay, but we're a long way away. We have phrases like sexual harassment, which didn't have a name before, or domestic violence, which didn't have a name, was just called life. You know, all of these things have changed. But I'm not expecting you to be grateful. I want you to get angry at what's happening to you, and I want to support you in doing something about it.
All right. Well, Gloria Steinem, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you.
And that was KJZZ's Lauren Gilger. You can hear the entire interview with Gloria Steinem on our website, theshow.kjzz.org.